is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Embrace the journey, not the destination. It's a new age cliche, but like many cliches, it's founded on at least a bit of real wisdom. And yet, when it comes to public transportation, as in the MBTA, embracing the journey isn't so easy, especially when it takes so much longer than planned.
Which it often does. And when it does, Boston area commuters have at least one recourse. The first plank in the MBTA's self-imposed Customer Bill of Rights, which guarantees a full refund on any trip that's more than a half an hour late.
But now, in an effort to close a projected deficit of more than $130 million next year, the MBTA wants to renege on that guarantee. In its place, the T is offering a consolation prize, countdown clocks on many of the T platforms that will tell you when the next bus or train will arrive.
In other words, we can't promise your train will be on time, but we at least can tell you how late it will be.
And we asked some T riders in Boston how they feel about that.
I'm Betsy, and I'm from the Cleveland Circle area in Boston. Well, I do think the refund program is a waste of time, because by the time you've missed your train, that is the major inconvenience, and getting $2 back is not worth the effort.
Hi, my name's Ian, and I live in Back Bay. People should be able to get their money back, so I don't think it's worth a light up board.
My name is Anna Kirby, and I live in Kenmore Square. I think I would be skeptical that the signs are actually right.
Those views from some weary T riders in Boston. It's safe to say that our next guest has heard the complaints many, many times, and he's good enough to come on our show again to talk about them. MBTA General Manager Richard Davey, welcome back to Radio Boston. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Sure. So we want to give our chance, give a call out to our listeners and urge them to call in. If you have questions about rapid transit, commuter trains, the overall challenge of commuting, now's your chance to talk to Richard Davey. Give us a call, 800-422-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Richard Davey, first, about that refund guarantee. I read that over the past 2 years, something like 200,000 folks have requested the refunds, most of them on commuter trains.
That's correct. That's right.
Yeah. Why are you proposing to take that guarantee away?
Well, as you mentioned in your lead up to the program, we're facing a $137 million budget deficit this year, and we are working very hard to close that gap without raising fares or cutting service. And so everything, really, every program that doesn't go to the core of our business is on the table, both in cost-cutting measures and also improvements in revenue. And this is one. The refund program was instituted in 2000. We are the only transit agency in the United States that has one.
How much did you give away? How much did you have to refund?
It averages $1 million a year, thereabouts, so a little less last year. I expect probably close to $1 million again if the program was in full swing this year. And it's regardless of why we were late. If there was if it's an MBTA or MBCR problem, for example, obviously a refund is given. But if there's an auto accident or a police action or a medical emergency on the train, we are still under that policy required to give a refund. So in the era and the time where we're trying to not cut service and raise fares, but try to find other ways to close that gap, this was one of the programs we identified for possible elimination.
No, and one can understand it. I mean, the bottom line's the bottom line. You've got a deficit to close there. On the other hand, this seemed like one of the few sort of tools that commuters had at their disposal to sort of hold the T's feet to the fire, as it were.
Well, no, I appreciate that. And I would say that we're trying to give them a lot more tools, like, obviously me being on media outlets, I'm going to be at Downtown Crossing today from 4 to 6 to listen to customers. We're out every 3 to 4 weeks to listen to our customers and to give them an opportunity to not only give us ideas on how to improve the service, but also to vent if there's an issue or a concern. So I think transparency, frankly, is the way to go, as opposed to just handing out our refunds. And the other thing I would say is 98% of those refunds are generally provided to commuter rail.
Sure.
And on that point, MBTA still has a real club, if you will, which is over our commuter rail contractor. We will penalize the commuter rail contractor for any trains that are over 5 minutes late. So there is still a great financial incentive for the commuter rail contractor to keep on-time performance at a high level.
All right, so let's talk briefly about these countdown clocks. I know Meghna and I made we had a little fun with the idea in the introduction here, but these are clocks that...
against you, by the way. I heard that.
Well, I'm glad you were still there when we came to you. But seriously, these are, you see these in other cities. Tell us how they work and where we would see them. Would they be on all the platforms?
Sure. So yeah. What we've done is, you know, as you know, the MBTA installed these countdown signs several years ago, particularly on the blue, red, and orange lines, so the heavy rail side. And all they say right now is both the time and the date, and then train is approaching, train is arriving. Our plan is to unlock that software, or really unlock that hardware, and put software in place that you would literally see on the clock, you know, next Alewife train in 4 minutes, next Braintree train in 6 minutes, next Ashmont train in 2 minutes, et cetera. So that would literally be counting down over a period of time and not just have now arriving, now approaching. So that is going to cost us somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million to implement. This year. I want to do that by the end of this year. But I think it's an example of if we have the resources, we can pour that back into the system and provide either better customer communication as an example, or, you know, something perhaps a little less obvious to our customers, but, you know, mechanical repairs in the red line, for example, which, you know, as we saw this winter, on a couple of occasions, the red and orange lines were particularly hampered because of their age.
Yeah. Richard Davies, stand by. We do have some listeners who want to get in on this conversation. We're talking to MBTA General Manager Richard Davies. We can take your questions for him at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We also want to let you know that we'll be talking to Senator Scott Brown in a bit. You can put your call in to him as well. So let's go to Charlie, who's calling from Dorchester. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to cast my vote for the clocks. I lived in Montreal where they have the clocks, and it's amazing how much it cuts down on your frustration, especially if you're running late for work. You know the train's going to be there in 2 minutes, and at 2 minutes it would show up. They worked exactly as they were supposed to, I guess. And if I could, just one more thing.
Sure.
Is did they not know when they built these railroad, the subway station, that Boston was a coal town? Why are all these stations above ground in, you know, I don't know, Fields Corner or North Quincy? You're freezing waiting for these trains.
Well, it's
I know there's not much we could do about it, but
Charlie, you sure you're from Montreal? It's colder up there, for sure. No, I appreciate the comment.
Richard Davies, it sounds like another pitch for another big dig.
That's right. Well, I appreciate the comment on the signs quickly. You know, Paris, you know, some of the marquee metro systems in the world, Montreal being one, Paris, Metro and D.C. New York is starting to roll them out. They started that about 6 months ago. So I think it's a great piece. On the certainly on the stations, you know, in a couple areas we're trying to make some modest improvements on our stations, particularly the Silver Line. We installed some heaters and some windscreens along the Washington Street Silver Line as an example to help with the cold weather, but I think the you're exactly right. I think a repeat of the big dig will not occur, but if we can do things like that, heaters, windscreens, and things, we're going to continue to do that.
Well, speaking of the cold weather and all that snow, a lot of the delays and cancellations that the T struggled with in recent weeks was due to all that bad weather. You blamed aging equipment. Are we talking about old trains, old tracks? What exactly?
Well, mostly old trains. You know, certainly the tracks and the tie conditions, particularly on commuter rail, we've made a lot of investment the last few years. When you have excessive amounts of snow, which I think was the real unique piece here, where there was, you know, and your listeners know, I mean, when you're shoveling your driveway, at some point there was just nowhere else to put it. And that was unfortunate along our rights of way. So snow getting into switches, for example, those were problems. But the biggest one for us was the age of the equipment. The Orange Line, which probably on the subway side suffered the most, in those 2 weeks in January. Though every single car is 31 years old, they should have been retired 6 years ago. So I have a new chief mechanical officer that's doing a fleet assessment to see what we can learn and what we can improve upon. But, you know, we're running out of time, frankly, on the Orange Line. Red Line 2, about a third of our fleet, was built in 1969.
Mm.
Again, you know, not an excuse, just the reality that we have to deal with. And commuter rail the same. Now, the good news on commuter rail is that we actually have those cars coming. New locomotives have already arrived. We have some new ones arriving in 2013. And we've got 75 new coaches starting to arrive next year. So, you know, those orders are placed. They're in production. That's good news. So there's light at the end of the tunnel for commuter rail with new equipment.
Okay, let's take a call from Patty, who's calling from Needham. Patty, you're on the air with General Manager Richard Davies of the MBTA.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, we're happy to.
I'm new to I'm new to the area. We just moved here last summer from out of state, and we bought the house that we're in simply because it was close to the commuter rail line that my husband could take into work. And so I've been following things. You know, I know that there's been problems with the T, but I think it's a great service. I think from my perspective coming from out of state that this whole idea of giving a refund because the trains are late for various reasons, I think it's time to take it back. I don't think people need that. It's, you know, things happen. Everybody runs late. You get a dead battery or whatever with your car, and you're going to be late for work. So I don't see why there needs to be a refund. And I have a hard time seeing the point of all this because my impression from a lot of driving around and taking the train is people kind of are impatient up here in the Northeast.
And, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, Patty. Do you have any idea what she's talking about, Richard Davey?
Well, I want to know
impatient up here
to live because I may move there. No, I think that. Look, I think people have high expectations, as they should. And, you know, the T is not inexpensive, particularly for our commuter rail customers. You know, bus, we're actually the lowest in the country in terms of fares, and subway, we're about in the middle. And the Needham line in particular, I appreciate the question. We actually spent, although there were some delays this summer, the reason is because we spent a lot of money on track and tie upgrades out there. So, you know, for the short-term performance issues we had, long-term benefit for Needham. So I appreciate the question, but people have high expectations, as do I. And, you know, we need to constantly strive for those. We may not get to perfection, but we certainly are going to be pushing very hard for it.
But, Patty, if you're still with us, it sounds like you're casting a vote in favor of diverting these refunds toward more service, which is what Richard Davey's talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for the call. Let's go again to another caller. Janet from Worcester's on the line with MBTA General Manager Richard Davey.
Hi, I really have two comments. One is I'd like to know what the plan is to improve the horrendous air quality at Back Bay Station. I take commuter rail from Worcester, transfer at Back Bay onto the Orange Line, and I have to say the air quality there is stultifying. It's horrible. Secondly, it's very disturbing when one spends as much time on public transportation as I do to see the amount of trash and debris along the lines, along the rail lines and in the stations, particularly Back Bay Station, I think is a good example of just a tremendous amount of trash that makes waiting for you know, the public transportation even more depressing than it need to be. I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
Okay. Richard Davey.
Well, Janet, I don't want to depress you. So a couple of comments. First of all, I actually go through Back Bay frequently. I live in the neighborhood, so I know what you're talking about with the air quality. It is not good. And so what we've been able to do with some of the federal stimulus fund money that was available to us last year is target Back Bay Station for two major improvements. First was repairing the roof. You didn't mention it, but I know it leaks. Not good, and that repair is actually already underway. The second will be an improved ventilation system. We have about $3 to $5 million, I think, off the top of my head, to improve the ventilation from the station out of the not only of the platform but also the station. The waiting area is not great either. So that's good news there. And I appreciate the question because it's been bad for a long time. On the trash question. I'm going to sound a little bureaucratic, but I'm going to give a solution. The problem we have on the Worcester line in particular is that numbers of different parties own the line. Amtrak owns a piece and dispatches it. We own a piece. CSX owns a piece, et cetera, et cetera. So getting full cooperation to do cleaning along the line is difficult, but it's been a focus. We were out there this past spring actually removing graffiti on the line, probably for the first time in, you know, 15 years. Fortunately, you would have noticed that now because the graffiti artist went back out there and made a mess. We'll be back out there this spring. On the trash question, I don't know if you've been there lately, but we did go out there, I thought, in the last week to clean up some trash on the right-of-way. So I'll have my team go out and take another look. But trash is something that we're very much focused on. We're actually going to be rolling out a campaign soon on trash fires that particularly occur on the subway side. It can be dangerous, so we're really pushing not only our cleaners, but also we're going to be asking our customers to really help us cooperate on trash at stations.
Richard Davey, thanks so much for coming on today and taking questions from listeners and talking about this important issue of commuting, which affects a lot of folks' lives. Really appreciate it. That's MBTA General Manager Richard Davey. Coming up, Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown joins us to discuss politics, his new memoir, and we'll be taking your calls.